Today we have Clarence on the show, also known as one half of the FBA Bros, and he talks about how he had over 2 years of Amazon failure, but didn't give up, and then hit Amazon success and was able to quit his day job thanks to his new product research techniques that he's going to share with us. How cool is that? Pretty cool, I think. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Serious Sellers Podcast by Helium 10. I'm your host, Bradley Sutton, and this is the show that's completely BS-free, unscripted and unrehearsed, organic conversation about serious strategies for serious sellers of any level in the e-commerce world. And speaking of serious strategies, we talk a lot about Helium 10 on this show, so if you are interested in giving it a try, if you've never tried it out, make sure to use our podcast discount code SSP10. SSP10. Go to helium10.com, sign up for your account, and save 10% off for life. Somebody who's been using Helium 10 for a very long time and coming to us from the opposite side of the world where it's like almost midnight over there, go ahead and introduce yourself. It's your first time to the show.
Yeah, so thanks for having me on board, Bradley. It is an honor. So my name is Clarence. I've been selling on Amazon for close to 5 years now, actually. I started in 2019, and at that time, I was just treating it as a regular side hustle, right? So I worked as a full-time engineer for the government, and I was working in the civil industry. Basically, it's like construction, right? I think that's the most common term, where for about close to 5 years. Yeah, so that's really my background. And I dabbled into Amazon FBA in 2019 after about close to 5 years in the construction industries. And that's where, as you can see, the rest is history.
Okay, so you born and raised in Singapore?
That's right. That's right.
Okay, and then went to university there. Is being an engineer, like at what age were you like, hey, this is what I want to do? Or did you just decide once you got to university, or had you been wanting to do that for a while?
Yeah, it's an excellent question, because for I think majority of my life, I didn't really know what I wanted to do. So it's more like, oh, my grades allow me to enter to this program, so why not just give it a try? So I was pretty much aimless, you know, for the better part of my earlier years. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's only after that when I went into the workforce and I realized, oh, dang, I don't want to do this for the rest of my life, man. So yeah. That's the epiphany moment. And it took me about 5 years into the job to realize that I need to start a side hustle. And that's why I started researching. And lo and behold, Amazon FBA came out.
Your first start was what year again? Your first product that you launched?
I launched in 2019.
2019. Okay, so pre-COVID still. And you launched in Amazon USA, or did you try Amazon Singapore, or where do you launch first?
Directly on Amazon US, just because it's the largest marketplace.
Okay, so at this time, you're still doing your full-time job, and you're like, hey, let me go ahead and start researching products. Now, the product that you launched way back then, are you still selling it, or did you get out of it before? What's the situation there?
Yeah, I've gotten out of it already. It's just when I launched my first products, I made a lot of mistakes, and I realized that that's actually not really the best niche to be in, right? It's in the lighting.
Well, what was it?
It's in the lighting niche. For
lighting,
room, yeah. So that was a pretty brutal market. It's high competition, you need compliance, and literally like 1 year later, I got slapped with this compliance issue that I need to show Amazon that I need to get ungated for this entire category. Yeah, so then
pretty much your sales went to a complete stop because you couldn't provide that compliance.
Yeah.
How much did you sell of that product before you had to get out though?
I sold about close to 1,000 plus units, and that's in a matter of like 2 to 3 months. And lo and behold, I thought I was doing well, and that's where the ungating email came in.
Okay, so you're still making some profit on it, right? I'm assuming until you couldn't sell anymore. Okay.
Exactly. Yep.
And then so did you lose a lot of money? Like, did you have a lot of inventory that you just had to throw away, or?
I didn't really lose a lot, thank God, because it's more of like I just need to get the ungating done. But that stopped me from selling in the Q4 season, because the email came in on October and I took 1 to 2 months to get the compliance issues settled out. So I missed the Q4 season, and when I'm ungated, it's January, and it's back to normal.
so you were actually able to get the approval and everything for you. You didn't have to give up on that product.
No, I don't have to. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now 2020, was that 2019 Q4 2019. You were talking about?
So this is now 2020, the Q4, Q1, when I started selling in January. So I'm happy with that one product, and I managed to launch another variation, right? And then another tragedy hit, which is at around June of 2020, I got hit by this patent infringement from a competitor. And that is like the last straw for me for this product, because it's just, it's tough. And eventually I found out that yes, actually I was in the wrong. I didn't do my research properly. And somehow I infringed on the design patent that was already approved. And I didn't find it out earlier. Yeah, so I spent quite a bit. My lesson here was I spent some amount of money to fight out the case. I actually hired a lawyer to even help me to write letters to Amazon and all these things, but it just got nowhere because clearly I'm in the wrong, right? So I think that's my very first knockout punch on Amazon.
Okay.
Yeah.
So at that point, did you go to zero or had you launched other products already then?
I had to go to zero for a while I was fighting this case. So I think the recovery moment was when Amazon asked us to recall all the units because it was just sitting there, right? Not selling. So it's the right thing to do. We recall everything back to our 3PL, the third party logistics warehouse. And I had to make a decision to take out the offending design. Right, which is just a stand. It's like a stand for the lamp, right? And that's the only offending design that's been complained about. So I had to took that out, destroy all the offending design, and get my supplier to send in more stands to replace it. So I had to pay a lot of money to get this product out and going. And I remember I had about 800 plus units just to get that retrofitted. And once I got it in, I sent it back to Amazon, and I just told myself, after this, I'm done with this product. I'm going to move on to the next one. Yeah, so I managed to sell all 800, and thankfully, it is still not too great of a loss, at least.
You sent the new product in, but then you still gave up on the product because you said you're not selling it anymore today, right? No, that one.
No more already. So as of 2021, I'm out of that market. Yeah, I'm done with that. So
now, at what point did you start looking for another product, though?
That was when I started getting hit with the patent infringement. That was right. That's my epiphany moment. And I know that, I need to have a second product.
How did you do your research trying to find a new product?
Yeah, I mean, back then, in 2019 to 2020, there were a lot of advice. So I was just figuring things out along the way. And I think I fell into this trap where I sell product that I think that it could work. Basically, my gut tells me to work. I mean, looking back right now for what I learned today, that is the foolish mistake that I have done, right? So in essence, the second product that I sold, it was a home product, like a very simple doormat, right? Something that's for your entryway. And that product, is also tough. It's a lot of competition, the PPC cost is high, and you can't really raise your price as much. So I also learned another valuable lesson there.
All right, so then you started selling this other product. Now, some people, already a year, 2 years, a lot of problems, failures, and headaches, and lawyers and stuff, might give up at this point. But what kept you going? We're like, you just like, no, I have to make this work.
The things that I go through were probably allow like majority of other sellers to give up on Amazon. But I think it's just, I know that this is a viable business model. I've seen it to work for other people. And I just tell myself, why not me, right? Why not just give myself another shot? So that was like the tenacity that I had in me to just want to make this work so that I don't have to keep getting stuck in the 9-to-5 rat race. I think that was my main driving factor.
Okay, so then, all the time you're still at your job now, are we almost in COVID times now?
Yes, in the timeline? COVID days. That's right. 2021, that's when COVID hit and the sales boom, right? So that was when the second product, the doormat product, that one really flew off the shelf really well because of the COVID boom, right? And I ran out of stock.
The doormat sales went up during COVID? Doormat.
Of all products, doormats.
Why? Like nobody's visiting your house anymore to wipe their shoe. Like,
I guess you have more time spending time to decorate their house and doing decor. Yeah. So that was the time where a lot of people were doing a lot of things at home. So one of the ways.
Okay. All right. Whatever.
Okay, right? I don't know.
Okay. So now things are looking up and then what happened?
Exactly. And I ran out of stock. So this is my second mistake. I didn't buy enough inventory, but I think I couldn't have known, right? The demand just spiked out of nowhere. So I ran out of stock for a good 2 to 3 months. And that is where I learned another valuable lesson on Amazon. Like, as you know, right? If you run out of stock for a long period of time, the algorithm literally punishes you in terms of the organic rank. And I lost it all in terms of the organic rank. And I thought the sales was good. I had this illusion where this product is doing great, right? So I literally ordered like doubled the number of inventory as the first inventory. And wow, that was a huge mistake because I lost all my organic rank during the season where I sold very well. And when I restocked, when I'm back in stock, I realized that, hey, my sales is, I don't know, are no longer like 50 or 60 units a day. They were like trickled down to like 5 units or even like 3 units a day. And that was very worrying because I had doubled the number of inventory I need to clear, right? So yeah. That was another great learning lesson for me, which is, hey, manage your inventory well. I think that's really...
How many months were you out of stock?
3 months. That was a long...
Okay, three months.
Yeah. All right. And I'm sure everyone recall that was the period where there's a lot of shipping delays because of COVID and
etc. Yeah.
Yeah. So that
affected
quite a lot.
And that was your only product at the time, that doormat?
Exactly. Yep.
All right. So now another kind of... problem. Now you invested so much money and all this inventory is just sitting there. Yep. So now what's your next step?
So after that, like we have like 2,000 units of doormats, right, stuck in Amazon, and I'm unable to sell it. So what I did was I tried to reduce the price. I did all I can, you know, like increase my PPC budget, reduce the price to even like it just doesn't make sense to sell it anymore. So even then, I couldn't really sell it as fast as possible. So I had to liquidate that batch of doormats, right? So that is my second product and it failed spectacularly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And all right. So then you went back to zero then at one point, right? Because you didn't have another product going at the same time. So again, back to zero. Are we already now in 2022 or? Yeah,
2-0, 2 to Amazon, 0 to me.
Uh-huh. All right.
Yeah.
So, now you're 2, or was this... about Q1 2021 or Q1 2022 we're talking about?
This is about still 2022, roughly Q3. Okay. Yeah, rightly.
Okay, so about Q3, now you're just like, I can't sell these things. So, but again, still you didn't give up. So what was your next step?
Yeah, so after learning the actual ropes and I realized a lot of mistakes that I've made, which is I need to go deep into the data before I choose a product, make sure that the competition is not too great so that I can win them in PPC, in the keywords. So I really learned a lot, Bradley, in that year. It was probably one of the lowest season of my life in my Amazon FBA journey. And this is like my final chance, right? If this doesn't work, that's it, man. I'm stuck in my 9-to-5, right?
Yeah,
So I have to make this work. So, and thankfully, when I launched my third product, and this time around, it finally took off. So this one is actually one of the more public case study, which is the egg pen, right? Which I actually showed that off in a lot of my social medias and even on YouTube channel. So with that launch itself, it set the trajectory that, hey, this is a system that we actually, after we take the inputs from many sellers, we combine it together and we didn't just take it wholesale, right? We also tweak it in a way that we want to test some items so that we can rely on this proven system to keep launching products on Amazon. So now, but anyway, that's 2021, right? That's when we started launching our egg pen and it became a great success. All because we nailed down on product research and keyword research. I think these two items really made the breakthrough for us, the FBA.
So how did you find that specific opportunity? Like, how did that come? First of all, let me tell you, I probably never would have found it because I hate eggs. It's funny because now I sell egg trays in the Project X. I hate anything that does with eggs. But how did you find that product opportunity?
Yeah, that's a great question, really. Because the egg pen product came to me when I was just walking around in Singapore. There's a lot of malls, right? There's nothing much you can do other than go to malls after malls. And in one of the shops, I encountered this Japanese kitchen store, right? It's just a store that specializes in Japanese kitchen items. And lo and behold, I just took a photo of the category owl there. Basically, it's an owl. And I went back home and did my research on all of those products. And lo and behold, I found the Japanese egg pen to actually pass our funnel, which is our product research funnel that we have developed.
All right, talk a little bit about that. What are those... I know you have something completely fancy. I even seen the videos, like somehow you have some bots that connect to Discord and connect to Helium 10 and like a lot of crazy stuff. But like in a nutshell, like what are the things that you are looking for that means, hey, there could be some opportunity here?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the big deciding factor in choosing a good product is the competition level, which I think a lot of sellers may have missed out in the earlier stages of their product selection. So How we deep dive it is by the use of Helium 10 Cerebro 2. We compare, or we picked out the top 10 competitor in any of the niche, because basically they're doing well, right? And we want to learn from them. So by analyzing their keywords and how many of the keywords do they rank on page one, and we can have the, it's a very beautiful Excel sheet that we have developed in a way that it allows us to show us how strong each of the top 10 competitors are in terms of keyword strength, right? In fact, I went through that in great detail in one of my YouTube channels, YouTube videos, right? So when we did that, we realized it's an epiphany moment, right? Because we realized, oh dang, now we have this tool to analyze competition level for any market on Amazon.com. And that is so powerful because it allows us to, even before we invest money into the product, we can roughly tell how easy it is to defeat the top 10 competitors. And if it is easy to defeat them, roughly, we can win the market. So that is really the initial epiphany moment in our product research journey. And the egg pen, right? Bringing back to the egg pen, that is one of the products that actually showed us that there's actually like eight, in the top 10 competitors, there are eight really weak competitors, as in they don't rank very well on Amazon. And two of them, it's just, okay, they're good. They're just ranking about 40 to 50% of the overall keyword for this market. So I think that's a no-brainer decision for us to enter.
Okay, so you're like, you're looking, hey, like at their strength, it's not just, oh, I mean, which also is a case, like, oh, these people don't even have A+ content, they don't even have a full image, their listing sucks, but you're also looking at the keyword level, how strong are they in like their SEO and things like that.
Right.
All right, so I'm actually, while you were talking, I went and I found your product on Amazon.
Yep.
And yeah, you're like still the number one seller on this. So like that's pretty impressive. But let's just take a look at your listing here. Now, did you start off with all of these like little accessories at the beginning, or did you like develop this over time, or how did you know like not just to come up with just the pan, but to have all of these little things as well?
Yeah, I love that you bring up the screen here, right? So like I have all the different bundles to the egg pan. So one of the amazing tools is basically to answer your question, I have all of those bundles right from day one, right? That's how really win the competition in terms of adding a lot of real value to the market. Yeah. So I found this through Helium 10 Black Box product targeting using a comparison of the top ASIN and see Amazon's frequently bought together items. So this is one of the way to think of some bundles for me to get into this.
So like people were buying the other competitors pan, but with like the serving plate or spatula and stuff like that.
Exactly,
okay.
Exactly. And to be honest, those smaller items are not really expensive. They are less than like 20 cents USD each. So I can just bundle it together, add a lot of value, and at the same time still sell for a decent profit in this market. Yeah.
Okay, cool. So you found this opportunity. Now what kind of sale, I see that you're selling, five, 600 units a month now. Yeah. Back when you first started, what were the main competitors doing as far as sales? Like were the top ones selling also this many, or was it less? Was it more? Yes. What was going on in a couple
years ago? The main competitor right now is going to be this Nihon color, pink color competitor, right? I'm not sure if you can search that up also on Amazon. They're probably still there. So initially, when we did our research, that guy is the top selling competitor. So he was doing close to about 600 to 700 units a month, right? But if you look at, I think today, because the seasonality do change around along the way, and I think he's doing close to 200 or 300 units a month right now, I think. Yeah, I mean, we basically snatched a bit of his market share. Yeah,
okay.
So that's true from the first week, right? The moment we launched, when we have zero reviews, just because we understand keywords and we differentiated a little bit in terms of bundling, we managed to get like the best selling in terms of sales velocity in a matter of 1 week for this market.
Wow. All right. What was your launch strategy in those days? Like was there still like search, find, buy and stuff back in those days, or was that already past the time where you're not allowed to do that anymore?
I can't do SFB. It's gone already. Those methods are.
So then what was your launcher? Just PPC is what got you there to page one for those things?
That's right. PPC. That's okay. PPC only
awesome,
launch.
Awesome. Yeah. All right. Now what's kept you at the top? You know, like anybody can can find a new niche, right? And or not new niche, but a niche where there's weak players, right? But then usually somebody comes in and does the right thing, even if they have the right bundle and they got the right keywords. Now the other competitor's like, oh man, we better step up our game. And, yeah. and now we're doing it. But you've still kind of staying almost near number one here, you know, 2 years later. So what has helped you to do that, do you think?
Yeah, great question. In fact, the observation that we did was, that we had was when the moment we launched in this market, I mean, the competitors got spooked, right? And they would definitely improve their product bundling or even in terms of offering. So we did see new entrants, number one, that came into the market. Number two, we did see our current competitors improve their, basically their offering. So to combat this, I think the number one thing is understanding the keyword basket for this market. So like example, we did our research and we found out there's actually 241 relevant keywords for this specific market. And we definitely want to get page one on all of those 241 keywords. And I think that's where our advantage comes in terms of the keyword basket for ranking, because a competitor will come in later on, he or she may not understand that there's 241 keywords to rank for this market, but we do. And we already know it at our product research stage. Yeah, so we keep doing that again and again and use PPC to rank for them. And it has been doing us a lot of success so far. Just
okay. This. Excellent. Now, at this point, you know, like you got a lot of success. Did you start other accounts and start selling other products, or what was your next step? Because, you know, you could have one successful product, but this one successful product maybe is not enough to like make somebody like, hey, okay, now I can quit my engineering job, you know?
Yeah. It's definitely not enough. You definitely need a lot more products. So with this first launch, we, in a way, it's like a proof of concept to our research formula, and we are repeating it again and again. So to date, I think we have close to at least, I think we have 10 different products right now across multiple stores. So our brand building strategy is very simple. We want to launch one store in one niche and grow that product line. All right. So basically, let's say the egg pan niche, right? Or the Japanese kitchen niche. So you will launch other products that's in a similar niche for the brand Yamom Nom. So similarly, we are also launching other brands. Like we just recently went into this camping and outdoor brand, and is selling a lot of these kitchen utensils for outdoor camping. So we have been seeing a lot of success in that area as well. So yeah, that's our brand building strategy there.
Okay. So did you already quit your job, or you're still doing your job?
I've already quit long ago already.
Quit long ago. So now you get to just enjoy being a entrepreneur and not having to work the 9-to-5. So your original purpose of getting into Amazon finally got fulfilled. Now, talk a little bit more about your strategies. You know, like one thing is about, you know, the keywords, but is that the only thing you're looking at for the validation steps, or are there other steps of your validation, or is just, hey, looking at the keyword strength, that's enough for you?
Yeah, it's definitely keyword strength is just one of our many criteria to look for in a product to launch. We have like up to 14 different criteria that we look at. One of them, maybe the easier one, is like the return ratio. We don't want to enter into market with, let's say, higher than 5% return ratio, right? So the egg pan shows us it's not only about 2.86% return ratio. So that was perfect for us. So that's one of our criteria. The other criteria is like the seasonality and the kind of the trending kind of a season for the product. So that's something that we want to avoid as well. The other one is like the differentiation opportunity. Are we able to find improvements to the product? Can we add value in terms of bundle? How about the premium packaging side of things? Yeah, so we do have a lot of criteria in our research funnel right now that we have tested for many years, and we have seen a lot of great success coming out of this funnel actually. Yeah.
Now, some of your, you know, you also do a lot of coaching out there, and you have a big, you know, a lot of students. You don't have to mention their name or their product or anything, but can you describe like one of the success stories, like somebody who came and they had no idea what was Amazon, they found this product and now they're selling this amount or something like that?
Yeah. I'm actually very proud of this student. He's based in the UK, and he just recently crossed the 7-figure mark on Amazon using the exact formulas that we have teach him. And yeah, we have so many success stories just by repeating and using this formula that we have developed. And yeah, the moment our students like one of them based in Singapore as well, he's just like, I think 19 years old. He launched his first product on Amazon ever following this product research funnel that we've created. And he instantly made like like 30K sales revenue in the first month of launch. Yeah, so we're very proud of a lot of these success stories. And we're always fine-tuning this research funnel. You know, we're not perfect. We're not saying that we have made it there. It's just I think we got something going on, and we are always open to test the system out to make sure that we refine the criteria so that we can increase our probability of success when we launch products on Amazon.
You don't get a little jealous sometimes of your students where they get success right away and you had to have 3 years of failure in Amazon? Or?
I mean, all power to them. And I always tell my students, right, don't do the same way as me. Invest in someone who has been there, done that, and you catch your learning curve, and they really have.
All right.
Yeah.
So let's talk about, you know, how you got connected with Amazon. Like how did you get on Amazon's radar? Because, you know, I'm wearing my my Project X hat right now. Everywhere. We actually did a filming with Amazon Singapore, but actually in Vietnam, where we were filming a new show called Project X Mini. Not out yet, probably be out in a couple of months based on when you're listening to this. But how did you get on Amazon's radar, where now that, you know, that they invite you sometimes to their headquarters there in Singapore and doing trainings and stuff like that?
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting that you brought it up, because to be honest, we do not know until today, right? I mean, David is my business partner as well. I'm just one half of the FBA bros, right? And I mean, David runs the social media and the business development side of things for us. Just out of blue, one day Amazon just reached out to us. I believe that's from social media. And I think one of the employees, I believe her name was Yuri, right? So shout out to you, Yuri, for organizing all of this together. And she saw one of my TikTok videos. I was in Egypt and I was just filming some FBA content near the pyramids, and I went to the Dead Sea as well and just filmed some FBA contents, right? And I think she took some inspiration from that and proposed that the entire project, and it turned to be a Project X.
Are you talking about Yuri from Amazon Singapore?
Yes.
She's Korean?
Yes, that's her.
Yeah, I was just with her in Korea, as a matter of fact. Like we're doing another filming. I was just talking to her literally 2 hours ago on Kakao Talk about, hey, when is our Project X filming? I didn't realize she was your first connection also with Amazon way back.
Exactly. Yeah, so Yuri is the main guy, right? The main person that's in charge of this entire thing. So yeah, kudos to her, man.
Okay. All right, cool.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, I think I know the answer to this. Like, your favorite tool in Helium 10 is probably Cerebro. So tell me, why is Cerebro your favorite tool in Helium 10? And what's your second favorite tool then next to Cerebro?
Yeah, so I love Cerebro because, I mean, frankly, it has made us a lot of money. I think the investment that we made in Helium 10, which is a no-brainer, right? I mean, we're just paying, I don't know, sub $200 plus a month. But we're getting close to 10 to 20,000 plus in profit every single month. So yeah, I think it makes sense. So why I love Cerebro, because it works, right? It helps us to identify all the keywords, like what I mentioned earlier, 241 keywords, even before we invested into the egg pen market, we found it through Cerebro, right? So we have a certain way that we adjust the filters to bring out all those keywords. Yeah, so second tool I love is, I have to give Amazon their own a shout out as well, Amazon's Product Opportunity Explorer. I think that one was... Yeah, it's really a good tool because it's directly from Amazon. The data is, I think, as close as you can get to accurate. And yeah, they display a lot of valuable data. So I love
product. Well, what are some of the things that you like in Product Opportunity Explorer to look at?
Ah, awesome. Yeah, so I love two main metrics that I see over there. Number one is, it will tell you when you search for any of the keywords and Amazon will niche it down for you. It will tell you how many competitors are there or are you going to be competing with. Right. For example, there's this number that said the top 90% of the clicks, and there's a number, right? So that number itself is going to be a foreshadow of how many guys are you going to be fighting with in terms of your PPC campaign, because these guys are getting 90% of the clicks, right? And you're probably going to be fighting out with them. So if that number is as low as 25 or lesser, that means you don't have a lot of competition to fight, and thereby your Amazon PPC bids will be a lot more favorable, right? Below $1 per click, right? So that's my number one favorite matrix to look at. Number two is, when you go to trends under Product Opportunity Explorer, you will see their average search conversion, right? And this is something that is a very valuable data, because this shows you, out of the basket of competitors, how well are they converting for that market, right? You can even go down to keywords and it will show you the individual keyword search conversion rate itself. And when you compare it to your own business reports, especially your unit session percentage, it's like a yardstick for you to measure how well are you performing compared to your competitors. So I always go back to that matrix to see, hey, do I need to improve in my conversion rate? So let me see and compare to my competitors.
Okay. Now, going back to Cerebro, do you have a diamond account with Helium 10 or higher?
I think I got a Diamond account. I'm not so sure.
Have you ever used then the new, I mean, I actually just recently got to Diamond, but the historical Cerebro where you can like kind of like look back over time where somebody was ranking any time in the last 2 years?
Oh, yes, yes. I've seen that, yeah. And I think I tested.
So then, you know, like what are your thoughts then on seasonal products? Like, do you stay away from seasonal or now that, you know, like now that there's the historical Cerebro, you can kind of really understand what were they making sales for in their season? Or do you like only products that are like evergreen throughout the year?
I think it depends on the level of selling journey that you're in. Like for me, after I've launched a few products already, I'm a little more confident now. So I think I'm willing to go into the seasonal product niche, like the camping niche that sells out very well in summer and in December. But for the rest of the year, it was a little slower, right? So I think we're fine with that. But if you're new and you're just starting on Amazon, I would not recommend you to go into seasonal products just because there's a little more nuances in inventory management. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I love that too that you mentioned. It allows you to instantly see literally how many units you need to buy, you know, in advance in terms of your inventory management based on your competitors. And that is it's a very helpful tool.
Okay. Now, the other question I ask my guests who use Helium 10 is if I give you the keys to the kingdom, like, hey, you get to direct the product team to make some new tool or some new feature that we don't currently have, what's the first thing you're going to tell them to do? Like, what's on your wish list of something that Helium 10 doesn't do for you right now that you'd like?
Yeah, I love that because, I mean, the one thing that I would love is I wish there's a way that we can automate product research, right? Like, I mean, AI is all the rage right now. If there's some way we can go through the funnel, like the funnel that we have, and if that's a software, right? I'm praying Helium 10 will be it. Right? If that's a software that we can just put the top 10 ASINs in there and it will tell us, okay, this is your top 10 competitors. They are ranking for this amount of keywords. They are not very strong in a keyword rank. So maybe there's an opportunity there for keyword competition. Maybe another one will be return ratio, pull the data from Amazon and say, oh, this is the average return ratio. It passes this criteria. Let's move on to the next check and then go all through the 14 checks and then at the end, it spits out the answer for you. It's a pass.
All right. Well, hey, we started something like that. It's called Product Launchpad. Not fully exactly like you said. I'm going to connect you with our product team and maybe you can help guide that tool. But yeah, we do have an AI powered product research tool that is like 50% what you said. So maybe you can bring it now to 100% with your direction there. So I'm going to connect you to Vincent for that. But anyways, what about last 30 or 60 second tip of the day, our 60-second tip, what is an Amazon strategy you can share with the community that you think is beneficial for them?
Yeah, TST, right? 30-second tips. So I think number one is, I think we as Amazon sellers, after we sell for quite a while, we tend to be very detached to the customers because it's all the numbers, right? We download Excel sheets, we look at Helium 10 data, we look at Amazon's data. So I think the number one thing is always go back to the human being. Because you're actually selling to the actual human being on the other side of the computer screen. So understand them, right? Like really you're selling your products to, let's say, a mom or a father who's buying a gift, right? So if that's your customer profile, then make sure your listing resonates with that exact customer profile. So I think the biggest tip that I can leave you guys is understand your customers, create your customer profile, and make sure that your listing speaks to them directly. Because the first trick is always click-through rate. Yeah, I mean, click-through rate is a little easy to get. Just get your main product, your main images and your pricing right. But the moment they're on your listing, right, and a lot of customers do bounce away sometimes from data. So you need to find out why are they bouncing away from your listing. And this is one of the way. Customer profile and create images that speak to them directly.
All right, well, if people want to reach out to you, get more information, find you on the interwebs, how can they find you out there?
Yeah, so that's you can search us on either Google, YouTube, or on Instagram, the FBA Bros. So I'm Clarence. So the FBA Bros as in THEFBABROS. So that's our handle on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. So feel free to follow us for a lot of the advanced level tips that we share. And we don't hide things, right? I mean, we show our products. We even launched the egg pen in a mini PPC series on our YouTube channel. So we even go through the steps on what we click to launch the product. So I think there's a lot of value that you can learn from there as well. Looking forward to add value to that.
Awesome. Well, Clarence, thank you so much for joining us. And I hope to be invited again to speak at the Amazon Singapore conference that they usually do in fall. And so maybe we can connect again yeah. At that time, but don't try and serve me any eggs in your egg pan, because I can't eat eggs. All right, we'll see you later.
Sure, man. Yeah, thanks for having me on board, Bradley.